Welcome to Take It From The Iron Woman. My name is Susanne Müller, your host and the Iron Woman. This podcast is about empowering yourself and others to make real changes in the world. You will hear from everyday, smart, sophisticated, hip people like you and me. Not everybody has to be an Iron Woman to impress the world. Together, we will learn from the sports and business leaders how you can become a more successful person as an entrepreneur or a leader. It's one step at a time, one day at a time. Take your steps now. Take your big steps now. Join me on this journey to success. This podcast is being sponsored by Get Loopy. On episode 41, you can hear the story of Isabel, the co-founder and CEO. Get Loopy, get a 20% discount off your first order. Getloopy.com. Hello and welcome. This is Take It From The Iron Woman. Today we have Ross Fraser with us. Hello, Ross. How are you today?
I'm good, Susan. How are you?
I'm very good. Thank you. And thank you for taking the time to speak to us. I'm just curious, where did we meet? Where was that?
Well, it's hard to believe that it's, I think, about 20 years ago in New York. I think we probably initially met either in Central Park or in a class with Bob Glover. That was a real formative time for me. I'd moved to New York in 1998, decided after seeing a couple marathons that I'd want to try to run at my second marathon in New York in 2000. Part of what I did was to start with taking classes with Bob Glover that January, because I lived near Central Park but hadn't run there very much and hadn't run any distance there, and thought the classes would help. And then when it got to be spring and there were more people, then I started to meet some folks, and you were among them. I don't remember exactly, but what I remember is that pretty quickly we discovered we had some, in addition to running, we had some other common interests. Then pretty soon you were at Columbia, or maybe you already were at Columbia, and I was there too, and that gave us a whole nother avenue for getting acquainted and doing some things together.
So it seems like, as we hear, like sport is uniting and on many different levels. Now I remember it must have been 2000, because I was at Columbia for my master's program. I had the opportunity to work with you at the campus. So that was the time. Wow, nice. A beautiful time to get to know each other. And I always feel like running is where you genuine, authentic, and the real you. Like, you don't put on makeup, I mean, as a woman, or like it's the real self, like you go rain or shine.
Yes, that I feel similarly. I don't do so much with makeup, but it's a place to go and just not really, for me, not really worry much about what the rest of life is going on. And part of daily living, you can just kind of put aside for an hour or so while you run. And I've just found it to be a great environment to meet folks that have got similar interests, and people there, particularly in New York, who become lifelong friends. After having run with Bob's class for a while, and you remember he did things by pace, you self-chose your pace. And I finally went over and introduced myself to these two other guys that had gray hair and were consistently in the same pace group that I was. And that was Jerry Marcus and John Andel. They're among my best friends ever since then. It was a great start.
It's amazing what the running can bring. And I remember one story from you when we go through difficult times, you always use the marathon analogy. Maybe you can explain how you got to that.
Well, I had been running when I got to New York. I'd been running for about 15 years and had run one other marathon when I was living in North Carolina in 1990. And a friend of mine and I ran that marathon together, trained for it. At the same time, we were also doctoral students in the same program at the University of North Carolina, Greensboro. And we arrived in Greensboro the same year to start working and then go to school. And so we kind of kept each other up to date about how our programs were going and shared all the joys and frustrations of being a doctoral student and working full time and so on. And then we ran the Marine Corps Marathon together. About a year after that, we were doing our doctoral comprehensive exams. And it was the first time he and I both, and I can't remember which one of us maybe said it first, but we kind of used that analogy for the, we were doing the exams as take home. So we had about a week to do it. And we kept saying to each other, we were at such and such a point along the Marine Corps route. And that route has run, you run through Washington a lot and you see a lot of people. And then there's about 6 or 7 miles that are much more isolated because they're out along a country club or a golf course and they're not accessed for spectators. So at about mile 19, all of a sudden there's nobody around. And so we used that analogy and checked in with each other over the course of the time we were doing our exams and used that analogy to say, well, you know, I'm out by the golf course, but you know, I know that I'm going to come back and there'll be people and we'll be closer to the finish and so on and so forth. So it was helpful. Yeah. And using that, you know, having had that experience, there are various times when you have a big project or you have something you got to just slog your way through. That's a nice analogy to use and has been helpful to me. And sometimes with other people, it's been helpful. Joan, my wife, was a minister and she didn't like to run, but the week of Holy Week heading up to Easter was a big work time for her, lots of services and stuff. And so I used to try to encourage her by making a little bit of a game out of it, of running the New York Marathon and how well she was doing and all the things coming through the different boroughs and the cheering people. And since it was virtual, it was always good weather and there were always fun crowds. And so it's really a good analogy for me about how you can get through things sometimes.
And we all know whoever is a marathon runner, mile 19, 18, 19 is a difficult point in that race, even if you're well trained. So psychologically, we know there's another 7 miles to go. And in New York, you know, the last six is kind of like where the marathon, or in any marathon, is where you know the marathon is actually starting. And there you see if the training went well. And I'm sure with your dissertation, you knew you're coming to an end. It's just like, keep going, don't give up.
Right.
That's beautiful.
And it has, you know, other things like writing a dissertation or doing a multi-year educational program have those same kinds of ups and downs. Inevitably, somewhere 85% of the way through or something like that, you're likely to hit a kind of rough patch that, you know, it's hard to really see your way to the end. When you've had the marathon experience and been able to do that, it's really a good, for me, it's a really good incentive to be able to say, oh, okay, you know how to do this. And the particulars might be a little different, but the general, put your head down and just keep moving through. And you do, in fact, cross the finish line, really works in a lot of situations.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. And out of your 12 marathon races, is there anyone that's most memorable or any cool stories that you have from them?
Nice memories and stories from a number of them. The first one, the Marine Corps, I had no idea whether I could finish. Never done anything like that. So having gotten through and being a little younger than I was for some of the other ones, I actually had my best time. So that's memorable for that. In terms of just a wonderful time and really different experience, the group of us that went to Madoc in 2009, there were 8 of us that ran, and it's in costume, and it's 50 vineyards, and some of the stops include wine as well as water, or they didn't do much Gatorade, as I recall, but it was just really fun. I think each New York marathon was really special and noteworthy. I think there, my favorite one of the four is in 2002, Jean Schaefer and I ran together, mm-hmm. and we literally ran every step of the marathon side by side, mm-hmm. and crossed the finish line. Our goal was to be under 4 hours, and we crossed at 3:59 mm-hmm. plus. But we really did it together. And mm-hmm. those who've run marathons know that it's pretty unusual to be able to do that. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody has a little different day, or mm-hmm. you know, a crowd of 40 or 50,000 people. Mm-hmm. You know, there are all sorts of reasons that mean that you wouldn't necessarily be able to stay together. But he and I made that commitment, and you know, we were just able to do it. It was great.
And I remember you passing me in Central Park, and I couldn't go any faster. And Ross looked at me like, "Please come with us. Please come with us." And I was like, "Sorry, you have to go. I cannot." So I remembered. I still see you both looking back at me, kind of like encouraging me, but there was just nothing left in my tanks. I remember that day.
Yes, I remember that we did come across you and mm-hmm. wanted to encourage you, and yet we were pretty by that point, yep. pretty determined to do what we could to be there under 4 hours, and it, yep. it worked.
I think sometimes when we think about leadership, you have a goal, and you two started together, and you had a goal to be under 4 hours, and me as running by myself, I've accepted that, right? So when you think about leadership, you always say, wait till everybody goes with you. Or I think in a marathon race, everybody is on their own unless you make a pact with Gene and you run together.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, absolutely. Yeah. And he and I ran a different marathon a couple of years later, and we ran part of it together, and I wasn't in as good shape, or the weather was it was warmer. Finally said to him, I'm not going to be able to maintain this pace. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It looks like you are, so mm-hmm. you should go for it. And you know, it's really important both to have a good plan and something that mm-hmm. you can work on, like going together, but it's also mm-hmm. important to know when you need to course correction mm-hmm. or decide yeah. on doing something different, and that it's okay. One of the things that I think is probably one of the nicest parts of my experience of getting to know a number of marathoners and training with people and so on and so forth is the combination of amount of support you get from mm-hmm. each other, give to each other, mm-hmm. and also the acceptance mm-hmm. that at any given day or any particular race, you know, things are going to be, you know, things may come a little differently. Mm-hmm. And you have to make different decisions, and people are glad for you to make good decisions. Mm-hmm. And I think that's has been one of the nicest things about this for me.
We know times have changed a little bit, but people are running, maybe you want to run their first marathons. Are there any tips that you have for them?
I think that the things that I think of when I think of, you know, helpful tips or whatever, one is it often is a good to have an overall plan to work with. And it doesn't, mm-hmm. I'm not sure that it makes a difference which plan, because there are lots of coaches that mm-hmm. have sort of different approaches. And if you look at a few of them and come up with something that you think is going to meet what you know about your long-term training schedule and other things that are going on in your life, and then to be able to get something that looks like it's doable, try to stick to that. And you may vary it, or you may have training with other people, do some different things that are not necessarily in that plan, but help you, but that you've got something to kind of go back to and serve as a base. Secondly, I think recognizing that training for it and deciding to do it is a long-term commitment, mm-hmm. and important to do it in a recognizing whatever else is going on in your life. Mm-hmm. I've had periods where I decided not to train for marathons because I was in school or yeah. some particular work project. And so being realistic with yourself about it. Mm-hmm. And then the third is, I think, you know, hopefully you find, you know, some people I understand like to really do that and train all by themselves, and mm-hmm. they do that well, and that mm-hmm. works for their personality. For me, I really like to train with mm-hmm. other people, mm-hmm. have that sense of support, have a greater product that comes out of more than one person thinking about what we might do or what the training might be. Mm-hmm. And it means that it's easier for me than to have some fun along the way. And then that's involves that much time and that much effort needs to be fun along the way as well as challenging and demanding. Mm-hmm. At some point you get to it and you say, why am I doing this? You're much more likely to be successful if you can find some way to enjoy it, mm-hmm. however that is for you along the way, so that you can actually accomplish what you want to do.
Mm-hmm. I think these are very important points. And the last one, I couldn't agree more. It has to be fun. So usually we've been training 3 months and it's 3 long months. If it isn't fun, then I don't know. Thank you so much, Ross. Always inspiring to talk to running partners and fellow marathon runners. Everybody has a good story. What do you take away and what is your story? Chime in every Monday, every Wednesday. We have new episodes. Take it from the Iron Woman. And don't forget to order Get Loopy. 20% off your first order. Take it from the Iron Woman. Thank you so much for listening.